love Wednesday nights. I think the purpose of this, and I think we all feel on Wednesday nights that it's a more intimate, close-knit sort of worship. There tends to be a little more space. It's different being here after you've gone through your day versus starting your day. Your perspective may be a little different. You've already experienced a lot of hours of stuff. And I don't really know what to say to you right now. There's so much on my mind. I read something yesterday. It was a picture of just this beautiful view, like a lake and mountains. And it said, whatever you're doing right now, just stop and go outside for 1 minute and look at the sky. Already emotional. Spirit is amazing. Just stop what you're doing for 1 minute, go outside. And in that moment, I had a lapse of judgment. And I was like, no, that's a pretty picture and a good idea, but I'm tired, so I'm just going to keep sitting on the couch. And I regretted it immediately. And when I got home today, I've been going home to work out before I pick up my kids just to have... That's my self-care time. And I remembered that picture, and have you been outside today? Perfect. Perfection. So I remembered that picture, and I looked up for half a second, and I took a deep breath, and I thought, man, this is gorgeous. And I went inside, and I went to look at my yoga videos, and it wasn't working. And for 5 minutes, I fought this technology that would not play, and I thought, I need to go outside, don't I? I need to go outside. And I went outside and just sat in the grass, in the perfect weather, and closed my eyes for some time and looked around for some time and just let God speak to me through his creation, which he loves for us to do, just to sit outside and be in his beauty. And we get so caught up, I think, day to day, we tend sometimes to forget that. And I'm glad that I remembered that today, and I challenge you tomorrow, it's supposed to be beautiful as well, to just whatever you're doing, stop and go outside and look around and thank him. And I just felt restored after that, and it reminded me of Sunday. I got to talk to several people after church, and praising God through music is just, if I could do it full time, I would. I think that's would be my dream job, and I've never said that out loud. It's rejuvenating and restorative, and it's just like being in his presence can be not intimidating, but he's so powerful and so big. And when Bjorn was talking about how those in heaven are 24/7 on their faces and looking up at him and on their faces and looking up and just saying, holy, 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 24 hours a day, how glorious that sight is. And I get glimpses of that when I'm here with you. It's different when we are gathered together. So I want you to stand up with me. Maybe close your eyes for a second. And take a couple of deep breaths, even though we're not outside. And let's just decide right now that whatever your day was, however your week is going, whatever thing there might be that we need a breakthrough, because I believe all of us need some sort of breakthrough every day. I think that's how we grow and how we learn and how we become the things we are striving to become and the things that we are practicing. Praising God changes the atmosphere everywhere you are, wherever you are. Praising God changes the atmosphere, the expectation of waiting for him and inviting him in to show up changes everything. Saying thank you and worshiping him puts you in a position for him to pour himself into you. And when he does that, it is just butter, like Jenny Doss says. It really, really is. Jesus, I thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
For that presence. And that when we decide to just thank you, God, that you restore us, God. We love you so much, and we are here to worship you tonight and to praise you, and we are letting go of whatever it is that might hold us back, God, and we are giving it to you because you make us brave, and we might need to be brave in order to let some things go. We need to be brave on the inside as well. We thank you. We love you. Thank you.
Stepping out into something new or to some stepping out into something really, really brave, but it calls us out into His grace. And, you know, sometimes we forget, I forget to answer the call to step out into His grace. And I was a little frustrated earlier, and someone asked me, what is wrong with you? I said, I'm just, my mind's preoccupied. And then I looked at her, it was Lindsay Grubbs, and I just said, I got a lot to be thankful for. Just suddenly that just came out. Because I told them, I said, I'm really counting on Holy Spirit tonight, which I should count on Holy Spirit all the time. But I'm really counting on that because I am, because I'm, you know. And, but as soon as I said, I have a lot, so much to be thankful for, it's already with, you know, Holy Spirit's within me, but that gratitude with Lauren was sharing, it just suddenly opened a door. It opened something within me that I needed, and it's so simple, and we talk about it so much, that gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation, and praise opens the door. But it's all grace. It's all grace. It's all grace. Those hard moments, it's all grace. Those good moments, it's all grace. And allowing just that reminder to go back to the one who paid it all, to go back to the one who, he doesn't get frustrated with me. I don't know why he doesn't, but he doesn't, because it's all grace. And so, just worship Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for that we are made right, that we are made whole, that he is so patient, that he is so gracious, that he is so merciful, that he is so loving, that he is so good, that he is so faithful, that he is so trustworthy. Thank him for that tonight.
Take something from what Buren says, but something hit me pretty hard, and it's kind of along the lines of what Lauren's saying, but it was just talking about living for today, being thankful today. It's so easy to live in the past. I know I struggle with that big time. I mean, there's been countless of hours of my life that I have just wasted, you know, driving to work. When I think about things that I've done in my past, that I just don't let go of. And I say to myself, maybe that's going to come back haunt me one day, you know, just saying that and the attitude that I may have that day. Or, I can't believe I did this. I don't have to do that. I can let go of that. And that song tells us why. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame, you can let go of. And then he talked about the future, you know, and I do this too. Man, I hope we have money, you know, a few months from now. I'm looking way in the future. You know, I hope that we can do this, do that. And I don't just sit there and be thankful for what I have right now. And it's something that I, this week, sitting at work, I told myself, Brandon, be thankful for today. Be thankful for everything he's given me. I have, as Dusty said, so many things to be thankful for. That it could just go on and on and on and on. And here I am thinking about something that God has told me. He sent his son to die on the cross. You no longer have to worry about the sin and the shame of the past. And I just hope that's it, your prayer, and that you'll follow me with that. To just live each day to the fullest. And again, it's hard. You know, you're going to come across some stumps in the road. And it's easy for that mind to go there. But boy, what things we have to be thankful for. God, we are just so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, God. It fills this place within each of us, God. We just have a heart of thankfulness. God, I can't even fathom how much you love me and how much you have my back through all things, God, and that I can just let go of the past. Thank you, God, that I don't have to worry about the future, but I can just be thankful and let your Holy Spirit just fill me, God. Thank you, Father.
you. You may be seated. Oh. Youth are going to be coming in there and join us for the next first Wednesdays in May, June, and July. And what we want to do, and I really covet your prayers for the next three first Wednesdays, that we are able to define and maybe redefine some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the particular 12 gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Probably going to, along the way, interject some historical things from my history, interject some things that I know experientially, but there are, I want to be able to define these gifts in a true biblical exegesis way, with not going by experiential things, you know, because there's a lot of controversy over 1 Corinthians 12. It's probably been one of the most controversial chapters in the Bible over time, over history. It's been a real dividing part of Christianity. As a matter of fact, there was a time in my history when it really divided and separated two large entities of Christianity, and that was the Southern Baptists and the Pentecostals, which were the largest, probably Protestant denominations in the world. I was part of the fastest growing denomination in the world years ago that was Pentecostal. And when I was a little boy, my dad and mother sent me and Eddie to church every Sunday morning. They didn't go, but they sent us to a church called Faith Baptist on McIntosh Road. It's still there. And one Sunday morning, I decided I wasn't going to go to church. So Daddy came in and was getting on to me really hard and said, "You're going to church?" I said, "No, I'm not." And I was just a little boy. And he said, "Well, why not?" And I said, why are you making me go to church, us go to church, and you don't go to church?" And immediately, and I'll jump ahead a little bit, as a little boy, my dad got a gift of wisdom. A word of wisdom hit him. And he said, "Get ready. Me and your mother are going to take you to church." And 2 weeks later, Daddy was born again and joined Faith Baptist Church. He had a brother who was Pentecostal, which opened up a realm of the Spirit to him that he didn't know anything about. And eventually he got what they called back then the right foot of fellowship. In other words, you heard the right hand of fellowship, or the right foot of fellowship is when you're kicked out of something because you believe something that they don't believe. And especially if you believe this about this that they don't believe, then it was scary to people. I want to start with just reading the first two verses. Now, let me give you a history about Church of Corinth. First of all, these are, I've heard up here tonight, said over and over again, grace, 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 grace. And it's all about grace. And what I want you to know about these gifts, these are grace, grace gifts, unmerited gifts. If the Church of Corinth could have these gifts operating in their lives, any church, every church ought to have these gifts operating in their lives. They were not the most spiritual people. Matter of fact, Paul in his letter in 1 Corinthians 3 said, "You're carnal. You walk like and you act like you've never been born again." He said, "You act just like everybody else in the world." He says, you have envy, you have strife, you have jealousy, you have such divisions. And so Paul is trying to bring unity to that body, and he has to discipline them in some areas, but the main thing he's trying to do is trying to bring unity in it. And so first thing I want you to know before we read it, get into these gifts, they're grace, unmerited gifts. My father had not merited salvation. He had not merited a word of wisdom from God. He hadn't done anything to merit a little boy giving him a word of wisdom to do something that he had not ever done and to become born again. But he says, now, brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, the special abilities. I want you to just think about that word for a moment. Special abilities. I don't want you to misunderstand this. That's very important. I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts. I don't want you to misunderstand them. I could tell you story after story of how these gifts have been misunderstood, how I've seen them misunderstood, how I've seen them misused, how I've seen them abused, how I've seen them in so many areas because of a lack of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. Speechless idols, that's important. Now, that word speechless, and you'll see in a moment why that's so important. Because speech is so important. And he says, how would you carried away by idols that couldn't even guide you, couldn't even speak to you, couldn't even give you understanding about anything? How could you be led astray by such speechless idols? So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are places in Scripture when it's just some strange things said. I've read this over and over for years and years and years, and it's always baffled me that Paul would say to a church, to born-again believers, nobody by the Holy Spirit can curse Jesus, and nobody can even call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit. See, there it was in that day, people in the temples who were literally cursing pagans. They were cursing people that were once with them, but now they weren't with them. And so they were cursing them. They were really calling, speaking evil of them and down about them. And Paul says, nobody by the Holy Spirit is going to speak about Christ that way. And how many know that everybody is in Christ, is the body of Christ. And if we speak and curse them, we curse Christ. Jesus said to Paul, if you persecute them, you persecute me. If you feed them, you feed me. If you visit them, you visit me. If you go to see them, you come to see me. And so he says, first of all, I want you to know, see, this is why he just said your idols are speechless, okay? Your idols are speechless. Now, I want you to know about the Holy Spirit in you. I want you to know you're not going to be speechless. You're not going to be speechless. We are the creation of God that has the ability to do two important things, think and speak. Think and speak. And he says, you can't call him Lord Kurios, which means supreme loyalty of his life and supreme worship of his heart. It's the blood of Christ does such awesome things. We sing about Calvary a little while ago. And every time we sing about Calvary, I'm blessed, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, because I know it's not anything that I've done. It's all that the blood did. I know that we are forgiven. We were released from the power, the penalty of it. We talk about the Word of God and how it can instruct us and teach us and guide us and lead us. But I'll tell you, oftentimes I've seen there's been one missing ingredient in people's lives that have kept them from being and becoming what they need to be and what they need to become. There's one important thing in their life that is missing in their life that keeps them from being able to overcome particular things in their life, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. The blood can't do this. Forgiveness can't do this. Sometimes even the Word can't do this, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus without measure, and everything that Jesus did, he did in and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Special abilities that the Holy Spirit gave him. You know, Jesus cursed a fig tree one time, so he spoke to that fig tree. A curse is saying something to something that is opposite and contrary to the intended purpose of that thing or that being. If I speak anything other than hope and faith, encouragement, blessings in your life, then I'm speaking contrary to the intended purpose of your life. You with me? If I say anything about myself different and contrary to what God has intended for me and my life, I'm cursing myself. And if I say anything about anybody else that is opposite of the intended purpose of their life, it's being cursed. There's another story of Jesus spent 3.5 years trying to get the children of Israel to change their speech about what they were saying about him. Because if they could have only changed their speech about what they were saying about him, their whole life and purpose and being would have been totally different. And so he goes on to say, I want you to know there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, that is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord, Jesus. God, the Father, works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. It's the Spirit that gives all the different variety of gifts. The Holy Spirit has gifted at different times and different means and different ways for different purposes this gift in you. The Holy Spirit does it. Jesus is the one that endorses and manages that particular gift, and God is the one who makes it operative in our lives. So it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit manifesting themselves through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said a lot right there. It could just go over your head if you didn't hear it. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through these gifts manifesting himself through us by these gifts. That's how he comes alive. That's how the church comes alive. That's how it becomes an organism and not an organization. It's not an organization. It is an organism. Until we see that the body of Christ is not an organization. We're a live organism of the power and the Spirit of the living God. And I want to share 4 of these gifts with you. It says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. I want to go back to other translations. It says, to one is given a word of wisdom, to another is given the word of knowledge. Now, these are two words that are, they're so closely related that sometimes you're not careful, you just get them mixed up. It's like saying the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They're both are the same, but yet they're not the same. Kingdom of God is in you. It's how it's operative. The kingdom of heaven is how we establish it and what we do. So wisdom and knowledge is a little different. Wisdom, let me go back and say why all these gifts are important. I thought about our building a house. When I was younger, one of the things that I enjoyed doing was my dad built his house. We built my brother. So when I say we built it, we subbed it out. We got other people to come in and built it. We just watched them build it. And it's always been fun to me to get other people to do something, watch somebody build something, come up. But there took a lot of special abilities for that. There was somebody who came in and dug a foundation, had a special ability to lay a foundation, and that foundation was laid. Then somebody else came in and they framed up this building. They had special abilities to frame it up. Somebody else come in and they had special ability to put electrical wiring in it and to put electricity in it. Somebody else came in and had ability to plumb it. Somebody else came in and had the ability to to finish off the work and do some sheet rock work and do some fine work that's difficult and build cabinets. And everybody came in, but when it was all over, it was a home. And that is the way these gifts are. All these special abilities are so that at any given stage and time in our life, when that's what you need, that's what you get. I didn't call a plumber to dig the foundation. Didn't call an electrician to frame it up. Didn't call a painter to put in the plumbing. I called every different person who had the ability, a special ability to do what they were doing. And so there are times in my life when I need this special gift, this special ability, this word of wisdom. Wisdom clears the air. Wisdom is the knowledge of things human and divine. But listen, wisdom is not just knowing what to do, but what is best to do. How many will always like to know what is the best and the better way? The best and the better way. Not just another way, but a better way. Because there may be a lot of different ways to do certain things, but if there's a better way, wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to have that wisdom to do something better, to be a better person? And that's what this, you know, I'm amazed in all the years of pastoring and preaching and teaching that on the same given Sunday morning, you can be teaching something, and while you're teaching something and preaching something, and everybody's hearing the same message, and yet this person and that person goes out with a different word of wisdom than somebody else got, but they got the same message. But they heard something that the Holy Spirit gave to them. Now, I believe that's a way to get a word of wisdom, but I know many ways to get a word. Another way to get a word of wisdom is, like I said Sunday morning, stop saying, "I know." Because the moment you say, "I know," you close off all future understanding and illumination of anything. Once you say, I know," don't ever say, "I know" in conversation. Just say, "Wow, that's good. Let's talk about." As you do that, you open it up, and there will be more and more and more to come. But once you say, "I know," it's done. It's a period. And that's why so many people don't get wisdom, because they don't open up their hearts to hear other people's input and insight and get wisdom. You can get it anywhere. You can get it from your kid. You can get it from anybody on planet Earth. Right? Then he said there's this word of knowledge. I just wrote this down. I want to say this because there's a lot of things can work havoc in our life, but you know what? Bad advice and bad ideas can work some of the worst havoc in our life than anything else. That's why wisdom's so important. Knowledge is the word gnosis. It's practical thinking, what to do in any given situation. It's giving light to apply wisdom and knowledge to bring it into practice. I read a statement a while back, and when I first read it, it didn't really mean that much to me until I just meditated on it. Knowing the truth is a precious ability. Knowing the truth is a precious ability. Then he said, to another is given faith. Now, this is not the faith that you're saved with. This is not, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. That's not the faith he's talking about here. This gift of faith is this special ability above the ordinary of just believing that something is true. It's a passionate belief about it. It's turning vision into deeds. It's inspirational faith. I believe in what Ken believes in. I believe that. I don't have the special faith of that. I don't have the inspiration of that he has. I believe it, but I'm not that inspired. I believe exercise is good. I believe people walking track, cool people. I believe in what they're doing, but sometimes I'm not inspired to do that. And I said a while back, one of the greatest things you can have in your life is get inspired. Because inspiration will carry it out. Knowledge and just believing in it won't necessarily carry it out. But being inspired will carry it out. And then we'll end with this, and we're going to have a special time, I hope, of allowing the Holy Spirit. You know what? Let me just give it to you first. Healing. When I ride around Spalding County in Griffin, Georgia, just think about it for a moment. How large the hospital is, how many doctor offices there are, how many pharmacies there are, how much medication, how much medicine is being purchased every, how much medicine is being taken every day. During this time, a Jew would go to a rabbi quicker than to go to a doctor. Some would go to the temple, and they would stay all night in the temple waiting for God to heal them. There were, when they would go into these temples and dig up some ruins, they would find inscriptions on tablets and inscriptions in the walls that were commemorating somebody who had come to that temple, and at some given time in their life, they were healed. And they would have their name. David Fountain was healed of so-and-so at this date. Da-da-da. Or this man's, when we can't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we can't read it in the Old Testament, Gospels, and the Acts of the Apostles, and see that there's not divine healing. Now, James said, if any sick among you, call the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. In the first 9 centuries after the church was instituted, there was, and I didn't know this, there was a thing called the sacrament of unction. You know, years ago, we decided to make anointing with oil a sacrament in the church. We believe water baptism is a sacrament. We believe that communion is a sacrament. We believe that marriage is a sacrament because it's a mystery. And we believe that anointing with oil is a sacrament. And so the second Sunday of the month, we recognize that. But they called it a sacrament of unction. After the 9th century, it became the sacrament of extreme unction. And it was the sacrament for the preparation of death. That these gifts of the Holy Spirit were beginning to wane. And they were getting further and further and further away from them until they got to the place that the sacrament of unction, of healing, would be no more, that we would call it a sacrament for the preparation of death. And I believe, and I know we all believe, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Eventually, you live long enough, you're going to die. It's coming that time. But I believe along this journey, along this way, that we can have these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow in our life. I don't know why we're not healed more often than we're healed. I don't know exactly why this happens here and that happens there. We'll talk about miracles next week, and a miracle is this supernatural intervention that God does. It could be a different way for different people. I've seen miracles in courtrooms. I've been in a courtroom where I knew that this guy's going up the creek. I know he's going up the creek. And the judge just for whatever reason changes his mind and lets this guy walk out with me and Michael and his dad. And I went, God, I can't believe this. And saw the whole thing orchestrated by God. I went to the hospital several years ago when Margaret was in a car accident. She was in a van and got hit by a car, rolled the van over down an embankment. And we went to the hospital, and she was okay. But she asked Barbara and I, said, would you go and get my pocketbook? It's in the van. And so we go and to the place where the van was sitting, and here was the van, and it was crushed all in everywhere except for the driver's seat. It was like literally a capsule. The only thing that wasn't crushed was her part. We had to cut the pocketbook, the strap to get the pocketbook out, because it was pinned in the car. Miracle. No way. There's no way you can look any other way than that. When we got a call on a Wednesday night years ago, and Jennifer and her three kids, a car ran a stop. Did he run the stop sign? Ran the stop sign and just hit them and just rolled, and all four of them, all five. There's a little bump here and there, but you couldn't have seen that it was laying on its top, flat as a flitter, and they made it. A miracle. I was in a car with Billy Shower years ago and was on Searcy Avenue and was going down, and this car just was coming at, just drifted over to the other side of the road, was coming straight at us, and I hit the horn and it blew, and they looked up and veered off to the right. And Billy said, wow, that was something. I said, you don't know anything. He said, what? I said, this horn don't work. And he said, you're not, And I tried and tried. He tried, beat on that all he could beat on, and the horn wouldn't work. We have to acknowledge these things, though, and realize there are healings. There are, these things can transpire and can happen. The fact that the thing is, we just, and I mean, back on, just stand together, and we're going to pray. Because I want prayer for my knee. I want my knee healed. I wondered, how many agree with me? I know you do, but let's be in agreement. Holy Spirit and inspiration of the Word, I don't believe things were put in the order they were put in just for no particular reason. I think when you read Scripture and you see things, I believe the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit were kind of put in an order. He talked about them in an orderly fashion for a reason. Put them in an order. I think there's a reason he talked about wisdom and knowledge first. Because you know what? Wisdom and knowledge can heal you. Wisdom and knowledge can heal you. Do you know maintaining your life is easier than restoring your life? Restoration is wonderful and good, but it ain't easy. How many would rather be healed and stay whole than get sick? Now, Jesus made a statement one time, and for years, I haven't believed this. That's crazy, isn't it? I didn't know I didn't believe it, Dave. I thought I believed everything Jesus said, but there's one thing he said. It just never registered me. When I said I didn't believe it, I just never actively put my faith in it. And he said, people love darkness more than light. I had a hard time with that actively believing in that. But I really look around the world, and there are people who love pain more than health. They love madness more than gladness. They love misery more than not being miserable. They almost gravitate to bitterness and things instead of the other. And so, I'm pretty sure tonight, I'm not the only one who needs wisdom and knowledge, healing, those special abilities. And so what I want us to do, I want you to think for a moment about what you need. Think about a wisdom, a knowledge. I want to know how to do something better in my life. I want to know how to do something better. I want healing in my life. I want a healthy body. I want a special infusion of faith. That it's not just faith here. It's faith to put it into practice. It's taking. I think I wrote this down. It's turning vision into deeds. Turning vision into deeds. Making it a reality. Not just something I believe in, but a truth that I'm walking in. Holy Spirit can do that. Holy Spirit can empower us in that. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to flow through us with the gift. We all need it, but there are some of us here tonight, maybe we need it in just a real special way. We need this gift of wisdom. Not only the knowledge of how to do it better, how to make my life better, how to improve things. This special knowledge that all of a sudden we've thought we knew how to do this or thought we knew how to do that, and all of a sudden this special knowledge comes to us and it just heightens us and brings us into a realm we've never been in before. A faith that's not just an inactive, dormant faith that's in us, but a live, inspirational faith that's heightened so that I can really, 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 really believe. About a year ago, Jennifer and Will and Dusty and I and somebody else was sitting on the deck, and we had an inspiration of faith. Do you remember that? Do you remember that, Jennifer? We had this inspired, inspirational moment of faith that we were going to really believe for the miraculous, really believe for, yes, it to happen. I want that inspiration of faith, not just then and there, but every single day of my life. I want to let Holy Spirit inspire that faith in me to be active, to turn my vision into deeds. That I don't just ride by the track and believe that that walking's good, but get out there and walk. And I don't just see that that's good, but do it. Be inspired to do it. And Lord, tonight, as we take the wisdom and the knowledge and this faith, that healing of spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. That your word says that you want to sanctify us in spirit and soul and body whole. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, to minister this gift to every single person here that needs it, that the healing virtue flows. Thank you for all the means and helps in the world that there are. Thank you for all the hospitals and doctors and medicines that help and heal and keep people going. But thank you, God, for a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of healing. Let it flow through bodies tonight. Let us start walking out tomorrow and tonight and the next day and the next day, an active consciousness of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And to believe with every step and every word and every speech. And let me close with us. Look at me for a moment. He started talking about their speechless idols. He says you can't curse Christ by the Holy Spirit, let's start changing our speech and saying it differently. Start speaking and speaking and speaking. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not going to come. Just keep speaking it and speaking it. You know, I had migraine headaches when I was young. And I know, darling, what they're like. And there's not anything that, wow, until you've had them. And I'd had them so often, sometimes 2 and 3 times a week. I'd go home on Sunday afternoons with a migraine headache and go to bed and get up an hour before church started and barely be able to make it to Sunday night church. And I don't know what happened. Those things just went away. And I believed in a particular time that it happened. I was in a service and I felt God spoke to me. And it was months later that Barbara looked at me and said, you know, you haven't had a headache in months. And I didn't realize that God, those migraine headaches were gone. And, you know, it does happen. It does happen. So just God bless you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of healing. It just flow through you. And anybody and everybody, all of us, amen? Let's just speak it. Ask God for wisdom. Ask Him for knowledge. And, you know, it may take me getting out on the track, walk, and get the knee healed. I don't know. Or I may go home tonight and it just be completely healed. I don't know. But you know what? I don't care how it happens. Just let it happen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Glad you came.